Sadashi Shimad, His Divine Grace, Abhayachatanad Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Iskan Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrind Kijai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai, Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopa Gopinath Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturam Kijai Jagadadasami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shivani Lasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Gaur Premananda Hadi Hadi. All glories, the assembled devotees, all glories, the assembled devotees, all glories, the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guruvin Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Namade Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachani Nivasesha Shunyavari Pashacha Jadeja Tarne. Okay, so Happy New Year to everybody online. Of course, for all of you online, it is not New Year. those of us, we are one day in the future. In Fiji. And the international dateline. Isn't it? We're the first ones to celebrate the new year in the whole world. Wow. We are so fortunate. Actually, it doesn't make any difference. I feel the same today as I felt yesterday. Except tired because of all the parties next door. There were ladies screaming all night long. And I was thinking, oh my God, the devotees screaming at night? But then I figured out it was the next door neighbors. Nobody here was screaming. Okay, so we'll read from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 10th chapter, text 19 is the next text. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I will just read the Sanskrit. Then we'll do the word by word synonyms. Tadaham Matehor Matva Varunya Shri Madandayo Tamo Madam Harishyami Shrinayo Rajitatmanaho. She can repeat. Tat. Therefore. Aham. I. Matayoho. Of these two drunken persons. Mogva. By drinking liquor. Varunya. Name Varuni. Ashimara. Andayoho, who are blinded by celestial opulence. Tama Madam, this false prestige due to the mode of ignorance. Harishami, I shall take away. Shanayoho, because they have become so attached to women. Ajita Atmanoho, being unable to control the senses. Translation, therefore, since these two persons drunk with the liquor named Varuni or Mogvi, unable to control their senses, have been blinded by the pride of celestial opulence and have become attached to women, I shall relieve them of their false prestige. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. When a sadhu chastises or punishes someone, he does not do so for revenge. Maharaj Parikshit had inquired why Nardamuni was subject to such a spirit of revenge, tamaha. But this was not tama, for Narada Muni, in full knowledge of what was good for the two brothers, wisely thought of how to cure them. Vaishnavas are good physicians. They know how to protect a person from material disease. Thus, they are never in tamo guna. Sagunan samati jayatan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Vaishnavas are always situated on the transcendental platform, the Brahman platform. They cannot be subject to mistakes or the influence of the modes of material nature. Whatever they do after full consideration is meant just to lead everyone back home, back to Godhead. So this is, actually it's quite an interesting point. Actually I should go back to the verse and recite the verse. Hold on a second. Okay. Tadaham Matayo Madhvara Varunya Srimadandayo Tamilnadam Harishyami Straniyo Rajitatmanaho. So Om Gada Timidandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur and Miditam Yena Tasmai Sigurveda Maha. So what you're hearing about is a type of what we call in justice terms restorative justice. There's two types of justice when you're dealing with criminals. One is retributive, which means vengeance. Like, I'm going to get even with you. You hurt me. I'm going to hurt you back. And that's going to make me really happy to see you suffer. Do you ever feel like it? Yeah. Someone hurt me. I curse you to suffer. And so, you know, then we think, joy, that guy's suffering. It's so nice. But that's what that's called retribution. We get even with people. And in the Christian scripture, there's actually some indication that people should do that. They say, what is it, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth? You ever heard that expression before? Yeah, you break, put out my eye, I put out your eye. You break my tooth, I break your tooth. And actually, if we follow that philosophy in society at large, everybody would need dentures. They'd be blind. Then we have a whole society of blind people and no kids. So it wouldn't be very good, you know, for society. So it's interesting that, you know, talking about Christianity, Jesus Christ says something like, if someone hits you on one cheek, you just turn the other cheek, right? You can turn me off now with a remote control. I know it's with a air conditioner. You hit. So he was teaching us tolerance. So in order to tolerate, we talked about this yesterday, one has to be in the mode of goodness and think very clearly about the welfare of the person. What's that? It's all right. I mean, it doesn't bother me. One has to think very clearly about the welfare of the person who has hurt you, instead of thinking of your welfare. It actually involves real compassion. Because real compassion is only manifest, or mostly manifest, when there's no reason for it. Like, for example, you're all feeding me so nicely, so I bless you like this. Oh, thank you for the tofu, lasagna, I bless you all. So you may say, oh, he's so compassionate. No, it's just a business exchange. Whose phone is that? Anyway, like, you feed me, and I'm happy with you. But let's say you didn't feed me, and I still blessed you. That would be unusual. I come, is it prasadam yet? No, you've had to take care of yourself today. Is there any boga in the refrigerator? No. You got to go shopping yourself, Maharaj. I mean, you've been here for a long time, so. Plus, you should cook for us now. Plus, we're turning off the air conditioner in your room, because you're using too much electricity. Chanika Panda says, when you want to get rid of a guest, what do? Does anyone know? You don't feed him. You don't feed him, he goes away. So then in that situation, if I still blessed you, that would mean real compassion. Because if someone's doing something for me, you don't know whether it's real compassion blessings, you know. But if someone's not doing it, or someone's oppositional to you, and you're still blessing them, that takes real compassion, doesn't it? So Narada Muni here, in this particular instance, there were offenses committed against him. You know, it's generally not suggested that you walk around naked in front of a sannyasi. And that reminds me of Prabhupada. He preached in the early days at nudist colony. You know what a nudist colony is? Where people were walking around without clothes. Can you imagine? I mean, one time I tried preaching at one of these festivals, Rainbow Gathering. I don't know if you ever heard about that before. You know, you go in to preach to them, and, you know, I thought, you know, they're all nice young people, but then I go in and nobody's wearing clothes. And, you know, imagine, you know, then imagine showing someone how to chant Japa, and they're completely, they're sitting right in front of you. I mean, actually, no one looks attractive without clothes. It looks like it's really gross. And it smells bad because the whole thing is disgusting. But anyway, so Prabhupada was tolerant like that. See, he goes into these colonies where everybody's naked and he's preaching, and devotees came from it. Actually, some really good devotees came from there. That was the compassion of Prabhupada. But it's actually not recommended that you walk around naked in front of the saints. Anyway, so it was actually an offense to be drunk and not even try to cover yourself, like the Manigriba and Nalakuvara. They didn't even try to cover themselves. The girls were more intelligent. The girls tried to cover themselves. But they just said, "Hi, Narda." Like that, you know. Can you imagine that? You know, these disgusting. So because they were intoxicated by liquor and by money, two things. And so Narda was thinking, he wasn't thinking, "Oh, they've offended me, I should curse them." He wasn't thinking that at all. "Let me get even with them, you know, I'm Narada Muni." He wasn't like Durvasa. You know Durvasa Muni? The word Durvasa means a bad temper sage. So Durvasa, he could get really angry. And he could curse people really. Like Maharaj Ambarish, he went to Maharaj Ambarish. Maharaj Ambarish received him nicely and said, "You know, please come and take some prasadam." And Durvasa Muni said, "I have to take a bath first." And Maharaj Ambarish was thinking, because it was the time to break the Ekadasi fast, "So what am I going to do? You know, if I eat before the guests, it's an offense. And if I don't eat, it's an offense. So what am I going to do?" So his advisors, the Brahmin advisors, said, "Just take a little water." So he took a little water. No problem. Durvasa comes and he knows that Ambarish is taking a little water. What's the offense? But he's, you know, anyway, because he's Ashutosh, you know, he's an expansion of Lord Shiva, and it's a pastime. I'm not criticizing Durvasa. He's a great devotee. So he takes offense, and he wants to get even, you know. We're talking about getting even. What does he do to get even? He takes some of his hair and creates a demon. The demon goes to attack Ambarish Maharaj. And Ambarish Maharaj, he's just depending on Krishna. He'll get scared of the demon. This is really interesting. And Krishna Sudarshana Disc comes and kills the demon. And then Sudarshana means auspicious vision. Did you know that? Auspicious vision. Like darshan means vision. Su means auspicious. So Sudarshan means auspicious vision. Just like we have a chakra, Sudarshan chakra on top of the temple, so it's auspicious. It's an auspicious sight. So anyway, so the Sudarshan chakra begins to chase Maharaj Ambarish all over, you know the story, the Bhagavatam, all over, you know, even to the spiritual world. He goes to Lord Vishnu and says, "Save me!" And Lord Vishnu says, "Can't do anything about it. You offended a devotee. Even I can't protect you from offense to a devotee." And so basically, Durvasa goes back to Ambarish, apologizes, and they become good friends. So that's an example of retribution, you know, vengefulness, getting even, for a slight offense. It's really interesting. And sometimes even in India, if you're a Brahmin, if someone steps on your shadow and they're a Shudra, you actually want to kill them. It's really dangerous. Better don't reveal your caste when you go there. And then, it's interesting. I mean, also in India, another thing happened in India when I was there, that there was There's a car right near Govardhan. Hare Krishna. And the car just hit a little boy. You know, it didn't hit Kurtam or anything like that. And everybody rushes out of the house. And, you know, thousands, I was right there, sorry. They rush out of the house and they drag the driver, God knows what happened with the driver, burn the car to a crisp. And the next morning, you know, I had to escape, actually. They weren't going to burn me, but, you know, I don't want to be in the middle of a riot, so I had to climb under the fence and, you know, run away. But the next morning, I walk out there and all that's left is just like the wires from the tires, you know, and the tires of the road. Oh, my God. That's retribution, isn't it? It's like that sometimes in India. Whew. Quite dangerous. Yeah. I mean, anyway, I won't get into that. So the point is that Narada Muni wasn't like that. Narada Muni was just thinking, this person has done something really bad, committed an offense, but I want to do the best thing for them. And therefore, let them become trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj and later on see Krishna. Isn't that nice? He wasn't thinking, what's... So sometimes there needs to be a little tough love. He couldn't just explain. Because when there's two things. There's Shastra and Shastra. You know the difference? You know, we're reading the Shastra. But if the shastra doesn't work, then the shastra, the stick. So, and actually, I wrote down some more stories about sages cursing, which is really interesting. I have this whole file. So these are about Krishna's pastimes, how sages cursed not only people to become trees, but they cursed them to become demons, which is really interesting. Like there's this one demon called Shakatasura. You ever heard of him before? From Krishna book. He's the cart demon. You know, Krishna, the cart tried to crush Krishna and Krishna just kicked the cart and killed the demon, Shakatasura. So, in his previous life, this is an interesting story. This is all from the Vedic literatures. He was a demon. He was the son of Hiranyaksha named Utkacha. And he went to a hermitage of a sage named Lomasa Rishi, and he broke some trees, and Lomasa Rishi got so upset with him, he cursed him to become without a body. In other words, just like a disincarnate or like be around the cart. Actually, it's not that really he was the cart, but he caused the cart to fall on Krishna. And then he begged for forgiveness. And Lomasa Rishi said, okay, in the next manvantara, you'll become a car or become Krishna's courtyard and be touched by Krishna's foot and liberated. So there was another story of a curse. And the sage forgave him. And then there's the Trinavarta story, which is actually really interesting. Trinavarta, everybody knows who Trinavarta was? Trinavarta? Cyclone? Whirlwind? Trinavarta, you know, sorry, Krishna was picked up by Trinavarta and taken to the air, and then Krishna grabbed him around his neck. Krishna became so heavy that Trinavarta fell to the ground, and Trinavarta died. So in his last life, he was a king. His king's name was Sahasriksha. And this is actually a very similar story. He was cursed by Durvasa Muni, because he appeared naked before Durvasa Muni while the king was enjoying with his many wives. He was cursed to live on earth for 100,000 years and then be killed by Lord Krishna. So even Durvasa was giving a nice curse at that particular point. And then Vatsa story. You all know Vatsa story? Krishna book? Anyone here read Krishna book? Yeah. Vatsasura was a calf demon. And he made believe he was a calf. It's actually quite an interesting story. There's many things that happened around that story. may believe he was a calf, and Krishna killed him. And the coward boys said to Krishna, after Krishna killed the calf, Vatsasura, they said, we're not going to go near you because you killed a calf. You know that story? Govardhan, I told that story, didn't I? I think I must have told the story. Anyway, whatever. And so you can't go, we're not going to go near you, Krishna. So you have to go, leave Vrindavan and go where? Do you remember? To the Ganges. And bathe in the Ganges. And Krishna said, I'm not leaving Vrindavan. And then what did Krishna do? Does anyone know the rest of the story? What? Created the Ganges from his mind. And that lake is called the Manasaganga. And then Krishna had Gangamata to come out of there and prove that that was the Ganges. Then Krishna went bathing there. So anyway, so this Vatsasura was a big demon. His name was Pramila. I think there's some people in Fiji named Pramila, isn't it? It's a lady's name? Many ladies are called Pramila. You could tell them they're named after a demon. What's that?
She's the education minister.
Is she a
demoniac?
You better not say I get kicked out of the country. But anyway, but the name is the name of a demon, a big demon. He was the son of the Mura demon, which is mentioned in the Krishna book, and he went into Vashishtha's ashram and tried to steal Nandini, you know, the cow, the desire cow, Vishishna Muni. And the cow cursed him. The cow said, you are a demon in disguise. You will have to appear as a calf and be killed. Then he begged for forgiveness. And Vishishna Muni said, yes, after appearing as a calf, you're going to be liberated by the Lord. Nice story, isn't it? Then there's another demon. Actually, we have so many nice demons. I don't think anyone has this name in Fiji. Maybe they do. Baka? People have that name in Fiji? Maybe some of the natives. It's a native name. So Bakasura was a what? What? Anyone know what? Bird? What type of bird? Big, yeah. A crane. It's called a crane. And he tried to kill Krishna by doing what?
Swallowing him.
And then Krishna did what? How did Krishna kill him? Yeah, bifurcated his beaks like that. So Bakasura in his last life was named Sohotra, who was a disciple of Durvasa Muni. And he had three brothers who became Pralamba and Keshi. And they were picking lotuses. Wow. They didn't do anything wrong. They were picking lotuses to offer to Krishna. But they were arrested by the servants of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva had previously told Parvati that he would curse anyone who took lotuses from that lake. Could she also about to offer 1,000 lotuses a day to Krishna? And there weren't that many lotuses there. So they had to appear as demons because Lord Shiva had to keep his promise to Parvati. And then they were killed by Krishna. So that's the three of them. Pralamba and Keshi, like that. That's interesting, isn't it? The past lives of these demons. Then you have another demon named Agasura. Who's Agasura? Snake, big snake. And he tried to do what? Do you remember? He swallowed Krishna and he also swallowed something else. What? The coward boys. And then Krishna expanded himself and killed. That's in that movie, Little Krishna, right? So Agasura His previous life, he was also called Agat, and he was the son of a demon. He was very attractive, you know, handsome and proud. And he saw this other Muni named Ashtavakra, who is curved in like 8 different places. You know, and people laugh at him. And he said, "Who is this ugly person?" And the sage cursed him to become the ugliest snake on the earth planet. Then he begged for forgiveness, and the sage said that, "Yeah, you'll be a snake, but you're going to be saved by Lord Krishna, or killed by Lord Krishna." Then another one is, this is a Krishna book test, is Dainuka. Dainuka, sir, who is he? What? Donkey, yeah, he was a donkey demon, and he was killed by Balaram. And so, he was in what forest? Does anyone remember what forest he was in? Taliban forest. And the coward boys wanted to taste the tal fruits. So here's his story. Because he was killed by Balaram, he was... How did Balaram kill him? Threw him up in the tree. So in his previous life, he was the son of Bali Maharaj. He offended Devrasa Muni by disturbing him when the Muni was in meditation because he was enjoying with all of his girlfriends on the mountain. Devrasa said, "Fool, you're an ass. Become an ass, O demon. And after 400,000 years, you will get liberation by the Lord's hand." So, and here's a question for you. Why wasn't Dainukasura killed by Krishna? Yeah, yeah. He wouldn't kill any of the descendants, yeah. Okay. And here's something for all of you from Fiji. Here's Kaliya. Kaliya's last life. He was a sage named Bedashira. I think you all know who Kali is. I mean, he comes from Fiji. He was a sage named Bedashira who was really, like, didn't want the sage Agastya Muni to meditate in his ashram. He just said, "You can't come in here." And he hissed like a snake. He said, "Don't come in here." And because of that, he was cursed. He said, Gashamuni, he said, "You were angry for no reason. You hissed like a snake, become a snake." And then Lord Vishnu appeared and said, "Don't worry, I'll place my lotus feet on your head when you become a snake." So he took birth with the first generation of snakes. And he was actually the son of Kadru. Kadru was actually the mother of the snakes. She had 1,000 snakes as sons. It's nice, isn't it? Some of them are nice snakes. And then, there's one or two more stories, because these are so interesting. Then there was the story of Balambasura. That's the story that I mentioned before. Actually, this is the name of the person. Then the Vijayadara. So Vijayadara is actually the one who swallowed Nanda Maharaj when Nanda Maharaj was bathing. And previous life, he was a demigod named Vijayadara. Let's see. Okay, and Arishtashura. Who is Arishtashura? Nobody remembers? He's the bull demon who Krishna killed, and because he had to atone for killing a bull, what did Krishna have to do? He bathed and Shamakund. And then Radharani, to compete with him, had to make Radhakund. And then Krishna first said to Radharani, "You can bathe in my kund," and Radharani said, "Your kund is contaminated." And even when she made her kund, she needed water. Krishna said, "You can take my water," and Radharani said, "Your water is contaminated because you bathed in it." So Rishtashura is actually a really interesting person. Previous life, he was a brahmana who was the disciple of Brahaspati. Now this is interesting. One day he was sitting, facing his guru, with his feet pointing to the guru. You know, like, anyway, I think you understand. And his guru said, "You sit like a bull." Can you imagine? This is a simple thing, you know, your feet pointing to the guru like this. "You sit like a bull." So, this is actually, it's really interesting. Oops, missed my place. So, he says, "So, and he associated demoniac bulls, he became a demon." And then there's the Keshi. Who's Keshi? When? Horse demon. Krishna killed him how? Yes. Anyone remember? By putting his fist in the mouth and expanding his fist. And it's, that happened in a place in Vrindavan called Keshi Ghat. No, that's in the famous song, Keshi Ghat, Ramagat, like that. And Prabhupada loved to go swimming there. He used to take his bath in Yamuna. In the early days, we would actually bathe in Yamuna. Now it's actually, because the Yamuna water is no longer there, you know, they blocked the Yamuna, and you just have the Delhi industrial refuse and everything. So you can't bathe in Yamuna anymore. So anyway, so in his last life, he was a Gandharva. He was a Gandharva and he was cursed. And there's, let's see, how many more demons? Just one more demon. Be patient. There's Vyomasura. Does anyone remember what Vyomasura did? He flew in the sky and he did what? He took all the coward boys and locked them in a cave. Kidnapped the coward boys. And in last life, he was a great devotee king from Varanasi. And he went and renounced his kingdom. And the sage Pulastya Muni came to his hermitage with many disciples. But the king neglected to welcome them properly. So Pulastya Muni cursed him to become a demon. So you make one little mistake and you're in trouble. So if you don't feed me properly, then... No, I won't do that. Then he blessed him that he would be liberated in his next life by Krishna. So anyway, so these are many instances of great sages who were able to control their senses and not punishing the person for the sake of punishment, but giving a curse for the benefit of the person. So any questions or comments? Questions? Comments? Problems? No? What's that?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Isn't it too harsh, like when somebody does so much service and is so advanced and then one little mistake is, gets such a big
It appears to be harsh, but if you actually think about it, they actually got the association of Krishna. I mean, I would think it's almost worth it to be cursed and to take birth in Vrindavan as a demon. I don't know.
In the current situation.
Because the whole point is the sage is thinking, what is the least painful way to rectify the person? That's actually a concept of justice, where we're talking about restorative justice, that you punish the person in the least invasive, the least painful way, but you have to accomplish the purpose of rectifying their consciousness. So Narada Muni was actually thinking that these boys, Manigura and Nalakubra, would not rectify their consciousness unless they got punished in a very harsh way like that. He was intelligent. Because the sages, when they're cursing, they're using their intelligence to figure out what is the best way to bring that person to Krishna consciousness. So, I mean, I don't curse people. I only cursed one person in my life. It was actually, I was in Venezuela, and there was some prominent person who was against our movement and trying to hurt our movement, so I broke my Brahmin thread and cursed him. I don't know what happened to him. I think he went crazy after that. So that's the only person I ever cursed. So, yeah, it appears really heavy. You know, like somebody just sticks their feet up in front of the guru. And, okay, that's it, buddy. You become a demon, you know. Ooh, I didn't mean a Guru Maharaj. It is pretty heavy stuff, yeah. But it's also arranged by Krishna so they can actually participate in Krishna's pastimes. You got to look at it from a different perspective. Like, even you have the story of Jayan Vijay, right? You have the four Kumaras, these little boys, just trying to go to the spiritual world. And Jayan Vijay were just doing their work, their service. They were told to block everybody who comes, unless they had a pass, unless they took their COVID test the day before. So, but they were told, isn't it? They were just following orders. And these four little boys come, you know, no, you can't come in. Ha! We curse you. Become a demon. But it was arranged by Krishna so the devotees would come down as demons so Krishna could interact with them in that way. I mean, even if you look at the story of the Tulsi Shalagram Vivaha story, right? You know, that's pretty heavy. I mean, and these aren't ordinary devotees or ordinary people that are getting cursed. This is Tulsi Devi. The Sudam, right? They're getting cursed. And they're eternal. They're not just like regular run-of-the-mill devotees. They're special personalities, and we're always with Krishna. Tulsi Devi is an eternal associate of Radharani and Krishna. And the coward boys, you know, and so here they are having to come down as Shankachuda for hundreds of thousands of years and be demons. That's pretty heavy. I mean, if Krishna did that to me, I would complain. I'd say, I didn't sign up for this. I just want to be happy. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So you know the story of Tulsi Shalagram Vivaha. So she comes down, she performs austerities, she's told by Lord Brahma that yes, you will get Lord Vishnu as your husband, but ultimately, you know, you have to fall in love with Shankachuda. And so she, Shankachuda, and let's see, as long as her chastity is not violated, and Shankachuda has his, like, magic armor and amulet, he won't be killed. And so then Krishna does something really wild. He makes himself look like Shankachuda, and he violates her chastity, and Tulsi's just like, you are so damn cruel, isn't it? You're just like a stone. You have a heart like a stone. Therefore, I curse you. Even she's cursing God, right? I curse you to become a stone. Okay. And she becomes a tree. So it's pretty heavy, isn't it? If you think about it, what about me? You know, I'm not even an eternal associate of Krishna. What if I do make a little mistake? I become a demon? It's scary, isn't it? I think I better worship the demigods instead, yeah. Lord Shiva is very easily pleased, you know, he's a pretty easy guy to deal with, you know. But Krishna, even if you become a pure devotee, you may get cursed to be a demon and have to come down and have Krishna break your heart, you know, and all sorts of things like that. Pretty heavy. So, the answer to that is that a devotee wants to please Krishna no matter what. So Krishna wants me to be a demon in his pastimes and arranges some cursing, then whatever, isn't it? I'm a servant. It's because the devotee is identified as a servant of Krishna, so he or she is happy to perform or be part of Krishna's lila, even if it means being a demon. So there's another way to look at it. Does that answer the question? Yeah.
Is it similar to that? Or
no. Krishna will come and save them. Because that's not part of Krishna's pastimes. It's part of Maya's pastimes. Ultimately, at the time of leaving the body, I mean, I've seen that with so many of my godbrothers who fell down. There was one, Surabhyabhi Palyantam, who helped design the temple in Vrindavan. He was an architect. And he got some disease. I forget which disease he got. Maybe it was cancer or something, whatever. And he was in complete Maya for years and years. But then at the time of leaving the body, he goes to Vrindavan, surrounded by devotees. They're chanting the holy names. Prabhupada is very merciful, and Lord Chaitanya. We are very fortunate that we're worshiping Lord Chaitanya and not just Krishna. Krishna is a tough person. He says surrender. And, you know, he's very tough, but Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. Even people who have offended his great devotees, Lord Chaitanya ultimately saves when they apologize to those great devotees, like Gopal Chapala, Gopal Chakravarti. Anyway, the stories like that. I don't have time to tell the stories. So we are very fortunate that we have Prabhupada and we have Lord Chaitanya. If we didn't have them, then we'd be in trouble. Isn't it? So you don't have to worry. But don't go running around naked from your guru or sticking your feet up. You know, please don't. Because I may be tempted to curse you. Anyways. Is there any other questions or comments? Yes. That's right.
Because the curse is going to come back.
That's right.
That's correct.
That's correct. That's correct. I mean, Prabhupada, there's one time Prabhupada did it. When there was this Mr. Nair. Prabhupada really wanted him to die. Because basically, I mean, he did so many things. He tried to cheat us, harass the devotees, take the property in Mumbai away from us. So Prabhupada had to party when he died. He said a sage becomes happy when a snake is killed. Probably Gurudev told you that story, right? You know, Prabhupada had a party. You know, break out the pakoras, you know. So I think that's the only time when Prabhupada was really praying for someone to kick the bucket. But no, we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't curse anybody. And when these sages do it, they're great self-realized souls, and they're also under the influence of yoga maya. You understand? So it means they're part of Krishna's pastimes. It's all part of Krishna's pastimes. I mean, if Krishna didn't have demons to fight with, what would happen? What would he do? He just have to dance with the gopis all day long. It's not. And another point is, Prabhupada said, without opposition, without demons, what is the chance for glorious victory? Isn't it? Like, if everything went easy in our lives, then what would be the... what would be so interesting? Like, if Prabhupada came to America and everyone surrendered to him immediately, it's not so heroic. So Krishna's glorifying his devotees. And Manigriva and Nalakuvara, they got to stand for a little while as trees. Interesting. So any other questions or comments? No? Okay. So what happens now? Prasadam? Yeah. And then we have a warehouse blessing. You bless your warehouse to be full of generators. Right? May you have many generators. Okay, I guess on that happy note, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jaya.